Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for September 17th, 2018.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrims. Once again, it's a delight to be with you today. And in the past few broadcasts or podcasts, I've been talking about the charismatic renewal that was one of the fundamental things that happened in Barbara and I's lives that changed everything. And yet the charismatic renewal, as I talked about last week and the week before, had some experiences that were very difficult to deal with, and we had to learn how to grow up and discern good from evil and righteous fruit from that which is not righteous. And we began to realize, as I'd mentioned from Romans, that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, if they're misused, God doesn't say, well, you misused that gift, I'm going to take it away. It's my personal belief that what really happens is those gifts that God gives everyone in his body can become our judge if they're used for our own purpose and for just building us up or building our ministry up rather than serving God and his kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. So I've spoken a lot about the charismatic renewal of the past, and again, I believe there's another one coming. I have some friends who believe it's already broken out in other places around the world and is coming to the United States again. So my prayer is that we'll be prepared, as my friend said, to spit out the bones and eat the flesh. And we've got to learn how to discern. And I also talked to him last week about the importance of discipleship. And discipleship of those men and women who have come through things and had to learn the difficulties and the obstacles of following in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just ask that you'll stay with me. I'm going to do some retrospect revelation again. I'm going to talk about some of the things that happened before Barbara and I were born again through that charismatic renewal into the kingdom of God. I want to share some of those things because I believe that it's important for you to understand that as Christians, God knew us. I've used the phrase before the beginning began. And I want to reread a text I read, several podcasts ago. But I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, and it comes from Ephesians. And I'm going to pick it up in the first chapter. And again, this is the Amplified Bible. I'm going to pick it up in the third verse. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm, even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be wholly consecrated and set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. For he foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. Now I read all of that just to say, before the beginning began, God knew his people. And yet in some mysterious way, he not only knew his people, but he granted us free will. Now how he can know us beforehand and grant us free will and know the decisions that we would make out of free will and know us really from the beginning is still somewhat of a mystery. But in that mystery, I've come to just realize there are just things I don't understand, but I know that I've experienced and received. I also want to read a portion of Matthew 13 that we talked about many podcasts ago, and it's the simple parable that Jesus tells about the seed. And I'm just going to read it. About the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds that fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up, and others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil. They sprang up because they had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, the point that I made when I read that several podcasts ago was that I began to retrospectively realize so many times God, in his great mercy, dropped a seed in me. I read you some things when I was 8, 9, 12, 15 years old. I told you about the time I went through the windshield in an auto accident in high school and the vision that God gave me just before I woke up of a cross. So many other things. And he never gave up on me. He kept sowing seed until the day finally came when, blessed be his holy name, I came to receive him as Lord and Savior. And that came through the charismatic movement. But I want to go back and just share with you some things that happened before we were born again and may have happened in your life too and left you kind of wondering about what in the world is our Lord doing? What in the world did he do before? And just get that retrospective revelation. It increases your faith to believing for more in the now. I'm just going to go back to when I went to Evanston. And if you'll recall, I had kind of a vision of a rainbow and that, and I'll not go through all of that. But when my heartbeat had slowly returned to normal, it must have taken about 15 minutes, only then did I begin to think about what had happened. As I thought about the incident, I became deeply aware of a joy and confidence concerning my trip. It was as though I knew something before any of it had happened, and that everything was going to be fine so I could just sit back and enjoy the trip. I soon found my way to Evanston and Kendall Junior College. And pulling up in front of the school, I noticed it wasn't open. And it was pretty early in the morning, and if you'll recall, a very cold winter day. And I parked in front and left the motor running to stay warm, and I wondered what might happen next. Barbara later told me that after I'd left, she'd awakened and prayed for God's help. For her, this was a first, crying out to God in a way that even surprised her. Now remember, at this time, neither Barb or I knew God or believed in him or were born again. Well, as I sat in the car pondering the morning's events, I somehow knew everything was going to be all right. But Barbara just was surprised by what happened to her when she poured out her soul to Almighty God. And then came a peace, and she went back to sleep. Well, as I waited there before the Kendall Junior College, I knew something was going to be all right, but a distinguished man in about his late 50s or early 60s, pulled up in a car. He nodded at me as he went by my car to the front door of the college, and he went in. Well, soon afterwards, the lights went out, or went on, and he returned to unlock the front door. Only then did he acknowledge me and gesture for me to come in. I quickly shut off the car and bounced up the sidewalk as he graciously held the door open for me and put out his hand and said, "Sure is cold this morning, isn't it?" And I responded affirmatively. He went on to tell me he would have a cup of coffee for both of us in a few minutes, and I sat down in the foyer as he went back into his office. About 5 minutes later, he poked his head out of his office door, asking if I needed cream or sugar, and I said no, and soon he was walking out with two cups of steaming coffee. Sitting down beside me, he said his name was Wesley Westerberg. I introduced myself and proceeded to tell him why I was there, hoping that I could get back into college. He said he had met many older men and women who had wanted to come back to school, and they seemed to have a greater motivation for learning than some of the younger students. When I agreed, he invited me into his office, and it was only then that I noticed on the door, "Dr. Wesley M. Westerberg, President." Well, he graciously offered me a seat and said he'd love to help me out. I told him all I wished to accomplish in one day, if at all possible, get accepted in school, get a job, and find a place for my family and I to live. Well, he smiled and said he thought that would be no problem at all. He gave me some papers to fill out concerning registration for the next semester, which was due to start in 2 weeks. He then looked through his file and directed me to go to the Methodist Board of Lay Activities and speak to a man there whom he knew. Afterward, I was to go on to a certain address and see a man about a place to live. I filled out the papers and gave them to him, telling him I would return as soon as possible. Well, he gave me directions for both places and bid me goodbye, saying he hoped to see me again and soon. Well, by that time, it was well after 8 a.m., and I was on my way to the Board of Lay Activities. As I walked in, a man greeted me with a smile and another cup of coffee. I told him who had sent me, and soon I was filling out a job application. He looked and said I could start as soon as I moved to Evanston. He also said he could work around any class schedule I might have. Then I left, saying to myself, "Wow, how easy was that?" I then drove to Forest Avenue, which was one block off of Lake Michigan, a street of beautiful homes. I drove into the driveway of the address Dr. Westerberg had given me and knocked at the front door. An elderly man in his early 70s or so invited me in, and I told him my story and how I'd gotten his name. He stood up and smiled, and he said, "Come on, let me show you something." Well, we walked through his lovely home and out the back door, and there I saw a three-car garage with some upstairs windows. Well, he opened the garage, and we passed through an inside door which led to stairs. These stairs led to a lovely apartment with a big kitchen, two bedrooms, a full bath, and a living room overlooking the driveway and backyard. It was partially furnished, but he said that he would remove anything I didn't need if I wished to use my own furniture. He couldn't help noticing that I was stunned and standing there speechless. Well, after a few moments, he asked if the apartment would work out for me. I said it sure would. It would be wonderful, but I didn't know if I could afford it. Well, he smiled and said that if I would take care of his yard and keep the place looking nice, I could have it rent-free, and he would even pay the utilities. He went on to say that he thought it might take 8 to 10 hours a week to keep it up, but that my studies must always come first. I stood there, numb, asking if I'd heard him correctly. Unsure I had understood him, I repeated everything as I had heard it. 8 to 10 hours a week, keep the lawn mowed, the beds weeded, watered, cultivated, shoveling the snow. He assured me that was all, except that from time to time he might ask my wife to type some letters for him. That, however, wouldn't be often, and she would be able to spend her time taking care of the baby and me. He put out his hand and asked when I could move in. I said, I hope to be able to do so in about 10 days, since school started in 2 weeks. And he said, well, great. And he escorted me downstairs and into the driveway to my car. He told me to let him know when we would arrive so he could make sure the heat was on. I said I certainly would and thanked him profusely as he waved and walked back into the house. I sat momentarily in the driveway, shocked. I was to learn later that his name was Harry Wells, the former bursar of Northwestern University. He had also been the head of quartermaster in the First World War and was a leading member of the Methodist Church in Evanston. Harry Wells was well known for his wisdom and generosity. While I drove slowly back to Kendall College, my head swirling at what had happened, and I parked and made my way into the administration building. I sat down to gather my wits when a tall, middle-aged man with a kind-looking face spotted me and asked if I was the veteran who was wanting to get into school next semester. Well, I told him, that's me, I'm the vet, and I sure'd like to get into school next semester, which was just a couple of weeks away. Well, he came over to the bench as I was sitting on, grasped my hands, and on walked into his office, which said Dean of Admissions and Dean of Men. He stepped behind his desk, offered me another cup of coffee, which I gladly accepted. He looked over at my admission papers and smiling said, well, welcome to Kendall College. I look forward to getting to know both you and your wife. I said, you mean I'm accepted? He said, yes. And he immediately excused himself for a meeting he'd had to attend. All alone in his office, I sat back and considered my mourning. A deep desire to cry for joy, rose within me. I had to fight back the tears. What was going on? I asked myself. I looked at my watch and saw that it wasn't even 10 a.m. As I finished my coffee and walked out of the office, a voice behind me called out, Thomas, I hope everything worked out for you. It was Dr. Westerberg, and I sure told him it certainly had and how grateful I was. Well, he smiled and waved goodbye. I got into my car, and I was amazed. I had a great job. I'd been accepted in school. The job was paying a great wage, and I had a beautiful apartment, rent, and utility free. Now all we had to do was move. As I drove out of Evanston, I recalled all that happened. The rainbow, the colors, Dr. Westerberg, the dean, Mr. Wells, and my new boss at the Methodist Board of Lay Activities. Back home before noon, I tried to explain to Barbara all that had happened in so short a time. She listened excitedly. When I finished, she told me that a strange thing had happened to her that morning. She said she'd been awakened and began to pray with fierce sincerity, some she said she had never done in her life before. Well, after her prayer, she'd gone back to a sound sleep. And after several hours, she awoke with peace and joy, free from any anxiety about the future, school, or moving. So began a journey that has gotten curiouser and curiouser and curiouser and more fun and more joyful over the years. It's been an adventure Barbara and I have enjoyed and continue to enjoy right to these later years of our lives. But before we would reach the heights to a true understanding of who Jesus was, we'd go through some dark valleys. You've already heard about some of them and my journey to Selma. There would be some other events. But after darkness comes light, and Jesus was leading us on the path to his righteousness and his kingdom. Now, I tell that whole story just to tell you, long before we were ever born again, God knew us. And there were events in Barbara's life and in my life that God authored, and we didn't get it. It didn't find that root until God was able, through the events of life, to plow up our lives in such a way. For me, it led almost to suicide. To Barbara, it led to just terrible problems with being married to me and me to her. But God was in it all. And the day would come when we would look back retrospectively and say, oh, He's been with us all along before the beginning began. Well, I wanted to take some of the time today just to talk about that again, because I've been talking about the charismatic renewal, another one of which I believe is coming. And that charismatic renewal comes with some mixed fruit. There are some difficult things that will come with it. But the Holy Spirit is in it, and He is greater than any of the imposters that try to hook on to the ministry of the Spirit and bring it into derision. My prayer is that perhaps in your life, you'll see how God has called you before the beginning began. And He's called you into the King of Kings and His kingdom. He's called you into an eternal relationship with Himself. But He uses all of our life and brings to our remembrance the times that He dropped seed that we missed. But in our present day, we can look back and say, "Thank you, Lord. You never gave up on us. You never gave up, for You knew us before the beginning began." Thank you, Father. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my fellow pilgrims, who are on their continuing journey in the kingdom of God, and who live between the kingdom of God now and the tension between now and the kingdom to come. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon them and encourage them, Father, for the kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at MoanMinistriesBookstore.com.